Donald Trump. Yeah. Okay. We'll be talking about him today. I know it was odd referring to him as your hero and your guru and guide, but you know he is. You know you adore him. Okay, enough of the fun. Let's get down to business. This past weekend, Donald Trump, who closed out the Conservative Political Action Conference in Orlando, Florida, teased to a gleeful audience another possible presidential run in 2024. Are you ready? I know you're ready. What is your reaction to that? Do you say, oh no, or hell no? I think I know where you would go with that. Speaking of a Trump comeback in 2024, this is the additional statement I'm tacking on to the first one. What do you think would give him reason to be optimistic about being elected again? So it's a two-parter. On the first part, I'm looking for you to tell us what is your reaction to this announcement or pronouncement that he may just run again in 2024. And speaking of a comeback, what do you think would give him reason to be optimistic about being elected again? It really isn't a frivolous question. It's a very serious question. And what I'm looking for in your analysis is to kind of put yourself in the role of a Trump advisor. I know, as odious as it is, but that helps you to get into the mindset. From the outside, you have your own point of view. And you wonder sometimes, at least I do, when people make these kinds of statements, and they're very serious about it, what could possibly be the reason that they're so convinced that they're on the right track, that this is exactly what they ought to do? What cues or clues are they following? Because we don't understand what it is they're thinking, but they do. And if you watched any portion of this gathering of the conservatives, you can see how seriously they take what they do and what they think and what they want. I don't think that on the outside, the people who would eventually be the opponents of a Trump or a Trump campaign, I don't think they think that they have anything to be afraid of. But that is what you will tell us. Why is it that they're so brazen? What gives them the gumption, other than, you know, the typical gumption of a Donald Trump? But what are they measuring? What are they calibrating their intentions against based on what they see on the outside, reactions, the possibility of success? What is it that they're studying that leads them to believe they really have no opposition? All right, now that's a tough assignment today, but you're up to it. I know you are. And I just pressed some strange button here. I hope I'm still on. Am I? Oh my. I have this new phone and it's driving me crazy. All right, so that's the question. What would cause a Donald Trump, other than, you know, we know some of the obvious things, but I'm looking for you to act as a political analyst now and tell us what you think is the reason that there's such confidence that this is the right move. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. Lee from New York, you're on the air.
Ah, yes. Good afternoon, you trees. I'm here working
Good
on
afternoon.
The project.
Good afternoon.
Mm-hmm. I don't have much time, but to me, the main thing is, number one, he wasn't sufficiently charged, and number two, the Congress has put nothing in place that would stop him from running, and they could have.
Okay, go ahead. You need to add some more onto that.
Okay, it's perfectly clear to me that he has an awful lot of Republicans in the Senate and probably some in the Congress that are working with him. That's all on his side. That's quite obvious to me.
But why would that encourage him to make such a bold move and so confident about it?
Because he has enough of a constituency right now to make waves with the election that's coming later this year. He's already threatened certain people that he'll run other people against him, and I don't think that's a veiled threat.
Okay, but that's what he is saying about other people. Talk, mm-hmm. if you can, bring us closer to home on this decision that he seems to be in the process of making, or unless he has already made it, that he might be running again in 2024. What would make him so confident in making a statement like that?
The fact that he was impeached twice, and each time he was found not guilty.
Okay. So you're saying that would emboldened him?
Give him a lot of strength.
Okay.
I saw the president of the CEO of Goya, I saw him come out and say that he believed the election was stolen. I saw that just a couple hours ago.
He hasn't had enough, apparently. The first time he said it, it mm-hmm. caused quite a bit of heartache. People reacted very, very strenuously, especially in the Latino community. But mm-hmm. there he is again. It takes a while for some people to learn, but there he is again. Okay, so you made two points. Mm-hmm. One is he feels emboldened by the fact that he's weathered enough political storms that would have sunk an ordinary person. But because he's extraordinary, he just flicked them away. So he's strong about that. And the second one is, I forgot my notes here.
Well, the Congress was in a position on two occasions to impeach him on more than one count each time. And each time they deliberately chose to charge him with put one count against him. And they have put nothing in place since losing that decision that can keep him from running. I feel that they have the power based on what this man has done. When you incorporate the insurrection with all the other things that he's done, that they have sufficient evidence to have put something in place that would make it illegal for him to ever try to run for any public office.
All right. Well, let's see how people are reacting. Thank you so much for mm-hmm. getting us started today and contributing. Tony from Orlando, you're on the air. I suspect, Tony, you were all over this convention. since it was held in your backyard?
I really only tuned in briefly to listen to Trump's speech yesterday. I watched pretty much. I had an earbud in my ear, and I was watching Supergirl with my wife at the same time, trying to listen to Trump because Trump's not allowed in our house anymore.
Wow!
So I was
banned
really,
from your house.
Yeah, he's been banned. But we don't need the headaches. We had enough. We have 4 years of headaches. We don't need any more headaches from Trump. But I did manage to sneak in a little bit of his hate speech yesterday. My theory behind why he's so confident, Trump has hijacked the Republican Party. We already know that.
Very good point. Continue.
Okay. And on top of the hijacking of the Republican Party, he continues to purge quote-unquote rhino Republicans out of the party. He's continuing a campaign of purging them out of the party. So basically, he's taking the Republican Party to an extreme right position, something that we haven't seen in modern-day history. The Republican Party was always more like a center to right kind of party. Now he has taken it all the way to the right. But that being the fact, the advantage that this party has over the progressive or the Democratic Party is a question that I had asked you when you had a show basically asking us to ask you a question. And I asked you, why don't we have enough shows like yours, Utrees? And the reason I asked that is because this very question, what we're having to deal with today, is this: the fact that the Republican Party, well, Trump's party, is connected with his base through media, okay? And that's something that the Democrat Party lacks. Your show pretty much is the only one I listen to on PRN, I'm going to be honest. And the reason I listen to your show, Utrees, is because you interact with real people, okay? That's something that progressive shows lack extremely. Conservative media is extremely profitable. It outweighs progressive media and on the radio. I'm just throwing it out there. And one of the things, the reason they are able to do that is because they engage with the public. They take phone calls just like you do. Most of the shows I listen to, like after your show, there's probably going to be some crazy show talking about UFOs or something, pre-recorded in somebody's basement. And as soon as I hear that, I just tune off and I'm out, you know. And I'm most likely going to land on a conservative radio show, you know, whether I agree with their politics or not. But I just need something to listen to get me through the day. And that's one of the things that I notice is that conservative media, particularly radio media, engages with their public, and they invite politicians onto their show. They encourage their listeners to call their senators and push for their agenda. And that's something progressive liberal media doesn't do. They're disconnected.
Wow. That's a very, you made a couple of very strong points here today already. But if I could ask you, just the same, do you think that if this idea of Trump's gels more in his head and more becomes a reality, will there be the kind of reaction that you would like to see against him, say?
That's all going to depend on Joe Biden's record. It depends on the country. The United States is split. There's no more conservatives than progressives, and there's no more progressives than conservatives in the country. We're pretty much evenly divided. These elections pretty much come down to the wire, okay, at the end of the day. And that shows us that the country is evenly divided
between the Democrat. It's a two-party duopoly. It's a two-party system. It's evenly divided. There's no independent. There's no third party that you can vote for. So it's by nature evenly divided. It's only 50-50. That's all you got. And the fact that the matter is that that they know that they know that you have no other choice. So, you know, pretty much that's what you got. That's all you got, Idris.
Wow. Well, you made some very strong points, and especially the last one, which is there is no third party. For all intents and purposes, there is no third party.
Yeah,
so it is either go with Trump or you go with the Democrats, and the fight essentially will be between them.
So, and like I said, it's all going to depend on how well Joe Biden is able to tread through the middle. If he takes the country too far left, which a lot of progressives are saying that he's not going far left enough with the not pushing for the minimum wage more strongly than he is, and things of that nature. Basically, what people got to understand is the further you go to the left, the further the opposition goes to the right, and vice versa.
What will be the greatest error, even though it's way early, but what would be the greatest error that Trump will have to make to compromise himself?
Trump is not going to compromise. He's not going to compromise. You mean as far as him to compromise?
Yes. No, I'm talking about in terms of weakening his presumably strong position.
He can't. It's like what he said. He alone going away, basically not speaking anymore, it will do that. But unfortunately, these people are down a rabbit hole, and he knows he has them, you know, in the palm of his hands, and he's not going to give that up. He can talk. Utrecht, yesterday, I was barely listening to his speech, but I caught on to one of his immigration policies, and he says to the effect of that now they want to broaden family-based immigration, and they want to bring their grandmothers and their grandfathers and their brothers and their sisters and this, and he's like, oh my God, look, that's such a horrible thing, but yet he enjoyed those privileges. But yet these people are so blinded to realize that his wife enjoyed those privileges. His in-laws enjoyed those same privileges. But it's good for him, but not for the rest of us. But they're so blinded. They're blinded, Latrice. There's nothing he can do.
You made some points. You made some very strong points here. Let's see who picks up on what you offered and runs with it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Harry from... is it right? Am I right? Harry from Boston? Are you there? Okay. That might have been an old entry. Gary from Hempstead, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello, Gary.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Greetings, and appreciate an opportunity to share my thoughts.
Thank you.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Excellent points by some of the earlier speakers that I'd like to piggyback on and also add some other thoughts. I think that Trump is incredibly encouraged by the infrastructure he has in place that he has used in the past, and that is basically standing by and waiting for him, being, as was said earlier, the media, his large base of supporters, his coffers of hundreds of millions of dollars. In addition to that, I think that at least this is how I'm perceiving it, this is how I'm feeling about it. To the extent that I've been following it, the Democratic Party seems weak and ineffective vis-a-vis the Republican. I know the Republicans are fractured. I know they have a lot of a few people that have spoken out against Trump, and he's going after them. But basically, they seem strongly behind the majority, his message and his platform. And I'm very uncomfortable with how the Democrats stack against them. Additionally, the impunity that he has acted with, you know, unless these state governments and attorney generals are able to, you know, indict him and convict him and send him to jail or put him in a strongly weakened position where maybe because of convictions he can't run for office, I think that he will continue to do it. But I think the other thing that's not getting enough attention are the state legislatures. That is a powerful initiative that is being undertaken with a lot of these laws that are quietly being passed to suppress the vote, to do redistricting, to eliminate voting on certain days. Like I think in North of South Carolina, the souls to the polls on Sundays, trying to take that away, or is it Mississippi? I don't remember. So there's a lot of activity going on in the background to create an environment to make it easier for him to build on the support system he already has in place. Plus, he has the entire pretty much Republican political system from top to bottom in the on the federal level and many of the state governments behind him. So, yeah, I could see why he'd be encouraged.
When you speak of the Republican Party being behind him and Trump anticipating that he could depend on that support, the internal support that he has, and mm-hmm. the base of support originating in the party itself, that he could feel comfortable that he has cornered that. What are the indications you're getting that that piece of it is in good order?
Well, I can refer to, there was a poll taken yesterday at the CPAC where I think about 68% of the Republicans would like to see him run in 2024. I think the number that want to see him in 2024 is lower than the number that actually support his positions, because I think people do have an aversion to some of his antics and his personality. But I think the polls that we've been seeing, and also when you look at, these people almost got killed in the Capitol, and they came right back in the Hawleys and the Rubios and I forget the Jim Jordans there's a whole litany of them. I can't think of their names right now. Were basically still singing from that sheet of music about the election being stolen or rigged or, you know, in some way him being cheated. So I think there's ample evidence from the statements made by public figures at the federal level, and I'm speaking of in particular, when you look at polls that have been taken about the support in the party, to suggest that, yeah, the Republican base is behind him. And also he's got that media platform, like Fox. And
are you overrating or are you overestimating that? Are you ignoring the evidence that we're seeing increasingly that within the Republican Party, there's great disaffection with Trump?
I think there have been more people speaking out against him, but, you know, they get spanked a little bit I'm right back in line. Lindsey Graham got up on the Senate floor, the floor of the Capitol, after the insurrection, and they settled things down, and they were proceeding with the count, and he had enough. He was tired of it, you know, this and that. He goes to the airport to go home, and people start screaming at him. The next thing you know, he's running down. I think he went to Mar-a-Lago to get with him back in good graces. What's her name? Haley, the Indian American former South Carolina governor. She made a few comments untoward, got a little spanking, and then she tried to run back into the fold and meet with him. I don't think he would meet with her. Mitch McConnell talks about how this man was morally and some other level of responsibility for the insurrection. He gets some blowback, and he goes on Fox, and they say, well, would you support him if he was your Republican Party's nominee? Oh, absolutely, sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you may have... Huh?
He said absolutely.
Absolute, thank you. With an exclamation point. So you may hear people chirp out a little bit, oh, this and that. But let me tell you, when the rubber hits the road, if these people are serious about keeping power, staying in office, not being primary, not, you know, as they get closer to their reelection bids, or if they get too much blowback from their constituents locally, they'll get in line. I feel pretty confident.
Well, you've given us quite a bit to think about, and you've made some solid points.
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure.
For calling in today. Thank you. Gwen from New York, you're on the air.
How are you?
Okay, Gwen, how are you doing?
Well, it's global warming is here, and we're getting so much rain, and now we have lakes all around us, and that's something that Trump gave us, a gift that Trump gave us when he got rid of the Clean Water Act a while ago. But I'll talk about that another time. But I do want to say that why does Trump feel so confident? Because there was no consequences for anything that happened in Washington, D.C., none whatsoever. So wouldn't you feel confident if you got 8,000 people to bust into a government building with weapons and, you know, all kinds of other stuff going on? Five people died, and there were no consequences. And on top of it, you literally had these senators, you know, jumping as high as they could to make things right for Trump afterwards, because there is no such thing as truth in this world. So, I mean, there's a reason why Trump is feeling good. He's feeling high. He's feeling like he can do whatever he wants, because he's right. He can split that Republican Party right down the middle, although that would be a great favor for the Democrats, because that would mean easily the Dems could get back into a lot of offices. But what I would also hope is that we would have a progressive third party that would come out at the same time, which I think that would be.
Thank you for raising this point. I've had it on my
It's a wonderful opportunity.
I mean, nobody's
talking
about.
Why don't we take a few tips from
party.
What Trump did?
Continue.
So I think, yes, I think that it would be a great opportunity for us to get our own third party in there. And then we would really start having some decent competition go on, because there's a lot of decent people that are out here, including myself. I'm not on the ballot yet, but I am running for public advocate of New York City. So there are a lot of decent people out here, and you can't get up to the plate to say anything, because if you dare go against the party line, you're just shut down right away. So it would be interesting if people that are on the progressive side take this opportunity and run with it. I also want to answer the man at the top of the show. I really feel like I have to at least throw this in here, that I'm a person who listened to WBAI for 35 years, and almost every single show was a call-in show. I think the concept of call-in shows comes from the left, not from the right. It's just, I think that, when Fox was invented, they copied a lot of ideas from WBAI, and so they kind of answered our progressive radio station with the same thing. They even... They even, and as even Trump took this, many times you'll hear people sounding very victimized when you hear the left talk. And, you know, they're not wrong. They have been victimized. But Trump kind of co-opted that. And he uses that same kind of psychology on his people, like they've been victimized. You know, these poor white people have been victimized for being white. It's very sad, don't you think? So I see him. I think that he has his ears to a lot of places, and he picks up and steals ideas. But I definitely think that there's still a lot more to participate in when you're listening to Progressive Radio here. WBAI, WNYC lets people call. They don't take my calls most of the time, but they let people call in. So I just wanted to throw that out to the man at the top of the show who felt that it was okay. Just the right wing.
That was Tony from Orlando.
Tony,
thank you so much for
Tony Orlando and Dawn.
I'm sorry?
When he called up, the first thing I thought of was Tony Orlando and Dawn. I guess he gets that all the time.
Yeah. Remember that? That's funny. I think about that too. That's how I remember his name, Tony Orlando from Orlando.
Well,
thank you so much for your call today.
Thank you. Thank you, Therese. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. David from Brooklyn.
Good afternoon, Therese.
Seem to have such confidence.
You know, I'm thinking about your question, and what comes to my mind first is, number one, even though Trump was put out this time, the loss, and Biden is in, Trump left quite a base, because don't forget what he did with the judiciary. You know, he stuffed the federal courts with his judges, stuffed the highest court, the Supreme Court, with a number of judges. So that's quite a base. So I think that's very important, and that gives him a lot of credit towards thinking that he can run again and do continue what he's been doing in the past. So to me, that's very important. The other thing was touched upon previously was the fact that the Republicans have a lot of power in most of the states in the legislative branch, and they have gotten on with their program of voter suppression and manipulation and gerrymandering and whatnot, and I'm sure that's still in effect. So that's going to go in to high gear when they set the new lines for elections and so forth. I guess the only way to really make a significant change is get the Constitution to change to make the federal government responsible for setting up fair elections, because the way we have it now, it's just 50 different states that decide how they're going to do elections. The other thing that I don't think is in the favor of the people is the fact that we still have the master plan for running this plutocracy, not democracy, and that is the divide-and-conquer technique, and that is fantastic. And the chief dot in that area is white supremacy racism. So he's got all these things going in his favor that would make him feel that he would be quite comfortable and hopeful of running for president again. So that's what I think, that these things are the most important things. And I don't know how we're going to beat down the concept of divide and conquer with white supremacy as its principal way of doing it. But he's got all those things in his favor that gives him some idea about running for president and winning again. Now, it was mentioned about third parties. As far as I'm concerned, I don't think about third parties. I think about lots of parties, just not three parties, but many different parties that represents whatever is good for the people. I don't know if just a third party will solve this problem. In terms of the people, that might just split off from the Democrat Party or Democrat group and strengthen the Republican. But I'd like to see many more than just three parties. That would be a much better thing than being stuck with this actually one-party system with the two divisions, Republican and Democrat.
Do you think Trump will face internally greater opposition to running again than he has so far?
I don't think that he will be weakened in this Republican group to the point that he won't attempt to run again. I think, you know, these Republicans that are not Trumpites, I'm not sure if they would stick their neck out to the point of coming out against Trump. So that would be hopeful, but I think that he's got a lot of power, and before someone attacks Trump on the Republican group of the one party, you know, they got to really think about that, about their viability if they hold a particular office. So I think he's very strong in terms of thinking about maybe running for the next election as president.
Thank you. Thanks so much for contributing today. Henry from Chicago, you're on the air.
Hey, Trees, how's it going?
Okay, how's by you?
Oh, it's all right. It's March 1st, so the year's coming along.
Yep. Yes, it is.
The previous callers have taken a lot of what, you know, I've been thinking about, and they've been very salient, solid points. One by Tony from Orlando, where I was thinking about, too, where he just basically hijacked the Republican Party, which makes him more emboldened into doing what he's still doing. And another one where the polarization of politics. And I wanted to touch on that because I think one of the things, I think two things that makes Trump emboldened on what he's doing right now is he's riding the wave of the current political climate of how politics are practiced. And one of the things that I think that he is taking advantage of is basically the polarization of politics, as one of the callers previously talked about. And what I mean by that is there's a particular thing where Trump uses these talking points of, you know, how the country should be run. And you're either with me or against me. And if you're against me, you're my enemy. And so you see, like a lot of other, you know, groups that does not necessarily support Trump, using these type of tactics. Like, for instance, you know, I find that a lot of people in the ADOS community are basically anti-immigration. And you kind of see that permeate with, you know, with these other political groups who are not necessarily Trump supporters, but it's very popular with different political groups, and Trump is basically kind of taking advantage of that. And you know, he's also changed the political landscape, you know, when he got elected as president. And then another thing is, you know, that is a political philosophy recently is bully politics. And this is what Trump, this is what the strength of his political practice is. You know, it's either you're either with me or against me. And if you're against me, we're going to throw you out. And what he was saying at the CPAC conference in regards to some of the senators who voted for his impeachment. And he also called out the Supreme Court, who did not overturn a lot of the elections. And he was calling the people that were there, to not support them. And you also see this practice, like, you know, for me, looking at Chicago, you know, Mayor Lori Lightfoot is kind of practicing those bully politics too with some of the aldermen that are here in Chicago. You could hear her cursing at aldermen during meetings, you know, during the Chicago Council meetings. Like when did we start doing that? Cursing out politicians in public, you know. So it's sort of like, you know, sometimes her behaviors is worse than Trump. But I think Trump is riding this wave of this new political practice that we're seeing in this country.
Does it occur to you that we've been through this kind of scenario before, and it resulted in disaster? Not necessarily in the United States alone, but we've seen political figures rise, I mean, without explanation, without any logical explanation for their rise in power. Of course, they went on to abuse that power, and in the end, it consumed them and destroyed them. Do you see any parallels here with Trump? I'm thinking of, say, Benito Mussolini. That's an extreme example, but it is an example of how very ordinary people with extraordinary ambitions just rose to power, did unimaginable things to completely corrupt the society and take advantage of their position, which they supposedly would tell the people how much against power grabbing they are, but they were power grabbers. Do you see anything coming close to that in the way Trump has conducted himself politically?
That's a good question. But you know, the two people that I can think of in say recent history that they have ascended and has used this political philosophy of that Trump has used is basically two political leaders on the island of Hispaniola, and one on the side of Haiti is Papa Doc, where he kind of ascended to a high position, and then through corruption and through this base of we, and then all, you know, it's just a bunch of I, and then he gets thrown out because of his corruption. And I believe on the Dominican Republic side, you have Trujillo. I think that's his name.
Trujillo,
who did the same thing. And in response to he's more closer actually to Trump because of the fact that his racist banter got a lot of Haitians killed, since a lot of the Haitians had migrated. There were some Haitians who migrated over to the Dominican Republican side, and he had this also white supremacist base of going against the Haitians as well. But his ascendancy and fall was kind of similar to Papa Doc's, but I think both of those are just some of the ones that come to mind about how Trump has ascended to power in their political practices.
From what you observe, is there enough of a groundswell within the Republican Party to take Donald Trump down a notch or two as a kind of predatory presence within the party, as opposed to someone building the party for the good of the party and not for the specific good of himself.
You know, I if there is, I don't see it. maybe there's some representative in Wyoming who's calling, you know, for Trump's head, but I honestly, the figureheads and the leaders of the Republican Party, you know, like Mitch McConnell, who somewhat goes against Trump, but, you know, it's like, you know, he's like, well, he's a bad man, but, you know, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. And it's like, no, that's not enough. And so that's not enough to start a groundswell. So if there is one, I don't see it.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thanks
thank
so
you.
Much. Thanks a lot for your contribution today. Ali from New York, you're on the air. Ali, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. I had to call you with a cell phone because my phone, I couldn't get through on my regular phone. But can you hear me well?
Yes, I can hear you very well.
Okay. I'm going to answer with two things why you're asking us about how come Trump is so confident about running again. And one of the first things that I thought about it is about this woman, Marjorie Taylor Greene. This woman was elected, and there's no way that the government that Pelosi could take her out. So this is the people that they actually building the road for Trump to get back in. And I think in 2 years from now, I know Trump's going to be doing a lot of work to see how many people he will be able to help out and get into, especially the House of Representatives. So, and they already have a Marjorie Taylor Greene in there. So when you get people like her, and that's what he's going to try to do, you're building up the party to get you back in. And this is one thing that I see in him. He's going to be able to build in because of the racism in this country. Remember, Republicans, no matter what, even if they don't like Trump, they're still going to go to that booth and vote for him. And this is one of the things that I think is making him very confident about him being reelected or even being able to run again. Another thing that I see is that what happened on January the 6th. If you notice with the January the 6th, and you notice when he went and he had the Bible upside down, he used the military. He used the military. So therefore, now we're finding out all these people that they have worked in the government, they have been part of the military. And I believe, meaning that you talking about Rossellini and Trujillo and Haiti and all that, this is the kind of thing that a lot of these people, especially in Latin America, they like to use, the military. And let's just face it, our police department, especially in New York, we have a lot of people that they support Trump. And and unfortunately to say this, even people of color, Latinos and black men, they support the men. So this is another thing that I think he feels very confident about, is that he thinks that the military eventually going to turn and be with him. That's how I look at it, and that's how I see it. And let's just think about this. McConnell, even though he doesn't have the majority by one, he is still in charge of the Senate. And it's almost like if you look at the House of Representatives and the Senate, they cannot even put through the Democrat, the so-called unquote Democrat, $15 an hour. So you know how powerful the Republican still is in this country without even having the majority. So I could see him getting back in to finish the job. And what is the job that he has to finish? To leave this country the same way that he left his casino, destroyed, down the drain. And that's how I see the whole situation here. Thank you.
You seem not to believe that Republicans have a problem with Trump themselves. They may not necessarily like him, or they may not necessarily think of him as the kind of leader they want, the kind of leader that brings back, if you will, the old view of what the Republican Party was about: family, flag, and the American way, but something else. His administration, he himself is seen as loathsome, a very loathsome man. He's not necessarily abiding by the law. He never has. And his only quest is that Trump comes first and Trump wins at whatever it is he wants, and he gets what he wants, including using the party to do so.
So what I have to say to what you're saying is, I always remember when Obama, and let's just face it, I voted for him the first time, I didn't vote for him the second time. But I do remember watching an interview on PBS where this couple, they were losing their home, and when the person was interviewing this couple, the question was, if it Obama really guaranteed that you guys will keep your home, you will vote for him? And they were losing the home. They were being evicted. And they say, no, we will still vote Republican. That is the one thing with the Republicans. They will never vote for, even, I don't know if they're going to form a third party on the right or the left, but I just don't see it. They're Republicans all the way to the end. And these men, unless, and when it's right, unless he get a case and he get charged here in New York for what he has done, I could see him, because and Gwen always said the same thing, and I agree with her. When is this guy going to get charged, blamed, or found guilty about some all these things that he has done? And it's like he gets away every way possible. And to your question is, even though the Republican, even Mitt Romney, if he gets elected, he will still vote for him. That's how I see it. They will vote for him no matter what. Like he said, he will kill somebody on Fifth Avenue.
And that's right.
And he will get away.
Thank you very much for your call today and your contribution, Allie. Thanks. We have Harry from Boston. You're on the air.
Yeah, hello, Latrice. You hear me?
It's you, Trees. You, Trees.
The Trees. I'm sorry. Yeah,
okay.
I really enjoy your show. First time caller, and I'm overjoyed that I'm actually able to speak to you.
I'm overjoyed that you are speaking.
I'm sorry.
I said I'm overjoyed too that you are
contributing. Well, then we got something in common right from the beginning. That's good. Hey, the Donald Trump thing. This is my take on it. I think he's basically a good old boy for the fat cat, the industrialist, so he can get a line of credit. He says whatever he wants them, whatever they want him to say. I don't think he's got liquidity, and I think he's a puppet for the fat cat, and they're going to keep him in there. And these folks that go along with him are a chump for Trump, and that's the way I see it.
All right. Succinct and directly to the point. Thanks so much for calling in.
Let me tell you, that interview you had with the author of that book, that autobiography of that leader, that Harlem. Yeah, I just bought it, and I'm totally psyched about reading. I just want to have you know about it. All right.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Well, that brings us to the end of our program today. A lot of thoughts, and I'm glad about that. I like it when people are thinking. And there's proof enough today that, in fact, you are thinking and we are thinking. But let's think some more. We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.